B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Maz, what is it?
Okay, so when Kyrie Irving made a comment after game one about why the Celtics were playing so well and why all of a sudden this switch got turned on, and, you know, is this what Kyrie was talking about at the end of the regular season when he said, talk to me in the playoffs, we're not going to lose because I'm here, blah, blah, blah. He said something in the process that made me wonder about what's going on behind the scenes over there. Jimmy, go ahead and play it.
Maybe there was a little foreshadowing throughout the regular season as we were dealing with our ups and downs naturally. But I think that we just have an appreciation for the group that we have. We've spent at least 2 years together now.
We have an appreciation for the group we have. Why would you have an appreciation for the group you have? Maybe because it's going to end?
Okay.
Maybe it's... So here's what I wonder. Has Kyrie told these guys, I'm out? Or he's told somebody over there, I'm out. Listen, this is it. I'm out. I'm leaving. And maybe it's somebody higher. I don't know if all the players know it. I don't know if the coach knows it. I don't know if the president of basketball operations knows or the owner. I have no idea. But he sounds like a guy who's sort of saying, this is our last stand. And I'm wondering if this is some of the impetus behind the Celtics right now.
And that has cleared the air. So now everyone knows exactly where they stand. This is it. Let's go win a championship. And then what tomorrow brings is what tomorrow brings. But let's just lay it all on the table. I'm gone. But we're going to max out here and do what we can right now.
I just wonder. The way he said that, you know, we have an appreciation for this group. That's like the kind of thing the Baltimore Ravens said when they went and won the Super Bowl. Like, we have this is it. This is the final roundup. You know, this isn't going to stay together. This is our last shot, so we're going to go out and give it our best effort.
Well, I still think he is leaving, so I can understand where you're coming from. But conversely, couldn't you also say maybe he's told them I'm staying and that's why they've gelled and looked the way that they've looked?
Yeah, the way he said it, though, to me, again, and you're right, it could be that. But to me, the way he said it suggested a measure of finality. There was a measure of clarity and finality there. And I'm just wondering if he said to somebody there, look, I'm not coming back. So, you know, we can do what we want to do here, but let's go out and give it our best shot and we'll see what happens.
Storyline's all set up. He and his buddy Durant, who are going to New York, are going to meet in the finals. And they're going to go toe-to-toe to win the championship and then both go to New York. It's just like, is that just not a ready-made Real Housewives NBA drama story? Isn't that just perfect
for the
league?
It's the only league you can get it in.
That's right, where they can, you know, if that were hockey, they each would have lost in the first round. And they, you know, the NHL, it just wouldn't happen. It would never happen. In the NBA, they go to the finals and it dominates for 2.5 weeks and then they both go to New York. Like, you just see it happening, right? And then just, oh my God, the storyline, just that story for those 2 weeks in the finals. Because make no mistake, Murray, they're going to the finals now, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, they are. I kind of thought that after game one against the Bucks anyway, because of how good that they looked. And I finally bought in because they're playing the best team in the NBA, especially in the East. And they whooped them in game one. And I expect them to win this series in 5 games. Last night, though, because nothing else on, and I didn't really want to spend time on hockey, I was like, I'm going to watch this Raptors game. Holy crap. Yeah, the Celtics, you could pencil them into the finals because they're going to demolish either of those teams. And I know the lack of success that they've had in their building, but I'm sorry, outside of Kawhi Leonard, who is a force, and Pascal Siakam, who's having a good year, they don't have any other scorers besides those guys. Kyle Lowry is a loser.
Oh, my God.
With a capital L.
What a loser move he made with 20 seconds left in the game, roughly down three. Trying to dribble between someone's legs. I didn't even really appreciate it. I was watching it. I just saw him trip over the 3-point line and get the ball away.
You got to really watch the thing a few times over because it went viral quickly on social media, and rightfully so, because it looked like he tripped. It's like, wow, what a klutz. It's big fat Kyle Lowry because he's never in shape. What an idiot. No. Hoopheads call it a nutmeg move where you try to dribble through. It's like a Rucker Park video game type of thing. He tries to do this to Tobias Harris. He tries to dribble through the guy's legs in a playoff game.
Down 3, 20 seconds left.
At home. In crunch time, when you need a bucket, he tries to do a flashy NBA Street video game move. And he's a klutz because he's Kyle Lowry, and he screwed it up and turned it over. What an a-hole. What an idiot. That's the best the East has to offer. Pencil the Celtics in. They're going to the finals.
I mean, he looked like a complete jackass.
Book the flights, guys.
If you're going to try that play in that spot, oh, you better make it.
I don't like him anyway. Now I detest Kyle Lowry. just because of that one play.
I mean, really, what a way to turn over the ball, because you tried to dribble it between the other guy's legs, and it went off his leg, and then you turned it over. You loser. Donkey.
Start scoping out the Boston sports bars in San Francisco, Jimmy, for nice remotes. I said Toronto was going to be a tougher. When I watched last night, Philadelphia is.
Oh, and them,
sucks.
Please.
You let Philly walk in your building and beat you, even for a single game.
And then they almost ended up losing that game. They were by 20 at one point.
19 points. They're up 19 points, and they can't hold the lead. Two losers. This is like the Patriots in the AFC. It's like one stupid team after the next.
For a stretch of that game, Greg Monroe was their best player, who was here for a cup of coffee just this past season, too. And I kind of like Greg Monroe, but like that's what it is for the Sixers. They stink, too. I don't care about their late-season token win. You can pencil the Celtics in for the finals.
Everybody else is stupid. Everybody else sucks. Until you get to the finals.
Right. That's a different story.
That's a different story. In the East, it's like the AFC. It's the tomato can division.
I still need to see the Celtics show that they can handle it when they get down 10 and they start finger pointing at one another. Because trust me, the Celtics are capable of every bit of stupidity that these other teams have shown.
Here's my Celtics take. And this is a head nod to Boston Sports Night, Town for Atari Boston Sports Tonight on NBC Sports Boston. I heard these guys talking about it last night, and it didn't occur to me like it should have when I watched it, but I know exactly what they were talking about. I think it was DJ was talking about it, about how Al Horford deserves credit for deferring to Kyrie completely, completely. All right. So just to set this up, Kyrie Irving in the post game on Sunday was his insufferable egomaniacal self. You know, everyone knows I can get any shot that I want. It's not about me and my greatness. We all know my greatness, but if I can get others going, that enhances my greatness. And my greatness, the whole LeBron thing. And he's doing that while Al Horford sitting next to him on that podium. And it was Al's game. Al was the player of the game. Don't we all agree?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Al was the most important player in that game. Both ends of the floor, tour de force. One of the best performances he's had as a Celtic, that was his night. And Al is sitting there as Kyrie's doing his LeBron thing. My greatness. And Al is not just sitting there and taking it. I went back and watched it today. He's like nodding and supporting him. He's going like, uh-huh, yep. And like
a hype man.
Absolutely, completely deferring on what should be his night. And this is Al's great, one of his greatest strengths. He's just an adult and a pro, and he's got a great attitude in a league with so many knuckleheads, right? And so, but this is what the Celtics need to do. It is full ass kiss mode on Kyrie Irving. Listen to this cut. This is Jimmy, play the first one. Play the second one. So the question was to Kyrie. There's a question before about Kyrie Irving keeping his cool and talking to the guys on the sidelines and whatnot. And then Al Horford follows up with this.
I just think that once the postseason started, I think we all really have been able to lock in. And Kyrie has been on our ear even, you know, weeks before the regular season even ended, about the commitment and what we needed to do as a group and how we needed to prepare and be better. And I think all the guys understood what he was trying to tell us and have taken up on that challenge and trying to be better and trying to do the little things to get us to this point.
And again, this is a group that went to game 7 of the East Finals last year. They did this last year. I mean, they didn't win in Milwaukee, but they won second round games, and they won second round games on the road. And do they need Kyrie to win the first or second round?
No.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that ass-kissing? Al Horford, who's been in the league longer than Kyrie, Al's never won a championship, but he's been around it a long, long time. Al knows exactly what it takes. Al doesn't need Kyrie telling him what to do. But on the night that it's Al Horford's night and Kyrie's going off about me, my, and my greatness, Al not just lets him do it. He then sits there and says, you know, Kyrie really spoke to us at the end of the year of what it takes and what we needed to do, and we all took that to heart. Oh, my God, the ass-kissing that is going on with Kyrie Irving, which is smart, is what they need to do, because this is a baby. This is a menstrual baby, Kyrie Irving. And so they're all at the whims of his menstrual cycle, and they all realize it. So it's all just tiptoeing around Kyrie and stroking his ego. And credit to Al Horford, who has no ego and is more than willing to do it, because he knows that's what is going to give the Celts the best chance to win. He even, remember the play in the first half when Kyrie Irving threw a behind-the-back pass to Al Horford and chucked it into the front row?
Yeah.
Here, listen to this.
Just playing the game the right way. Me and him in the pick and roll, we're very efficient. So I just try to make the right read. I threw a ball all the way in the stands in the beginning of the game. That was my fault.
I was in the wrong place.
Appreciate that. But, you know, and just going back to the bench and then being able to have that talk and establish a position where I would like him to be and where it's comfortable for him. So.
Is that embarrassing?
He's the husband who's just, he gets it. Like, this is what I got to do here.
Yes, honey. Yes, dear.
Yeah. No,
yes,
that was my fault, dear. That was my fault. Yeah, I screwed up. I parked the car incorrectly. You weren't even driving. No, it was me. I didn't. I should have fixed the car.
No,
that's on me.
No, he is. He's the my fault guy.
Yeah.
My fault guy in the hoop game.
Kyrie.
I hadn't heard that. That's amazing.
Is that amazing? That's amazing. And I think, was it behind the back? It was sort of a wild pass.
Yeah. It was behind the back.
That was my fault.
It
was nowhere close. It was unnecessary. He plucked some, you know, cheese head in the front row. Al had nothing to do with the play, but Al's got to jump in.
And that was my fault. I was in the wrong place.
Kind of joking, but not. And then Kyrie goes on, yeah, and it's really important that we go to the sideline.
Just going back to the bench and then being able to have that talk and establish a position where I would like him to be and where it's comfortable for
where
him.
Where you'd like him to be? You chucked it into the front row, you a-hole. But he just can't even. So this is all one big stroke job on Kyrie. And good for them.
Just
for
Al. Just to keep the room light, and it's obviously working.
Good for Al. I give Al Horford a ton of credit. A ton of credit. Again, I think I can't remember who said it last night on BST, but that's sort of, they were mentioning this, and they're so right.
I forgot to pay the mortgage. No.
I didn't have the funds.
I didn't have the right funds in the checking account. But dear,
your wife can't pull out of the parking spot because.
That was my fault. I was in the wrong place.
They have trouble parallel parking. They smash up the car. They come home, and what do you say?
That was my fault.
The brake assist wasn't working. I should have taken that into the shop, honey. You know, but fine. I'm sorry.
I think the worst part of it is Kyrie saying, I appreciate that. Like, how about saying, no, he didn't. I checked that out of bounds.
But humility from him?
Seriously. I appreciate you taking the blame on that. Thanks while we're sitting out here. You pull your pants down and let everyone expose yourself. How about taking some of the responsibility yourself? To me, that's the worst part of it. Oh, my God. What a dink.
So there you go. I mean, I give credit to the team for doing what it takes. And with this guy, it's what it takes.
That was my fault. I was in the wrong place.
Appreciate that.
It's the best. All right. So to your phones right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Mass. Spring is here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
So the second and third quarter, I really don't worry about shots. I can get my shot anytime I want. I think everybody in the building knows that. But aside from that, the evolution of my game has come from just being able to pace the game very well and manage it and then establish these guys throughout the game because they're special as well. So I'm even more special when they're making shots and they're doing what they do. So I try to just go out there and just ease into it.
It's so condescending, and Al's sitting right next to him, and it was Al's game. You know, Kyrie's acting like, I let these guys do what they needed to do. That enhances my greatness. So, we continue.
Guy doesn't know how to lead. He doesn't know how to lead.
So, I like the Celts in this series. After watching last night, you know, again, I thought Toronto would be a tougher series than Milwaukee, and it still will be. But I'm teetering on Toronto because I have zero respect for Philadelphia. Zero. Their ability to close and win close games, and their coach is a complete bozo, and I think they're just an imperfect team that you will wipe the floor with. And Philadelphia goes into Toronto last night and wins. Ugh. Feh. Toronto. Feh.
And at points, straight up dominating them.
So now I'm looking at Toronto and saying,
they're a fraud too.
Celtics are going to the finals. Like, that's sort of how I feel. I do like Milwaukee tonight. I do like Milwaukee tonight. That, like, that's the obligatory, that, you know, that's the game the home team wins, especially with the referee assignment. Who is it? Tony Brothers?
Yep.
And the Celtics, I don't have it in front of me, Stu. What's the record? The Celtics record with that ref?
It's like 1-8, one in the last eight, and it's like 0-14 on the road or something.
Yeah. On the road, they haven't won with him in, like, you know, it's double digits.
Got it here. Celtics in their last 9 playoff games officiated by Tony Brothers, 1-8. Celtics in their last 13 road games officiated by Tony Brothers, 0-13.
So what are you trying to say there, NBA?
Like, porked.
Sometimes the NBA is just obvious about it.
Oh, God. Like, this is a layup, this game. If you don't bet Milwaukee tonight, you'll never bet them.
Except it's, is it 8?
7 was what I heard Hardy say.
Yeah, I'd still bet Milwaukee tonight.
Okay. Either way, I do like the Bucks tonight, but not in this series. No way. All right, we continue with your thoughts on everything, folks. Here is Colby in East Taunton. Colby in East Taunton on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Colby.
Hi. So I wanted to call you guys to see if you guys thought that Kyrie's comments weren't towards him going to leaving the Celtics, but to the younger guy saying, hey, this is your last chance to be with a great team and a great player like myself. You guys are going next year. I'm getting AD.
I don't know who you guys talk. Okay, I heard every other word from his
mouth. No, he's saying that maybe Kyrie said to the young guys, I'm staying, but you're going, so we're going to make a... Yeah, and I just think if that happens, the team's fractured because the young guys can't handle it. They can't handle it. So when would they be happy? They'd be happy to know that they were staying because they want to stay. They don't know any different. So, yep, we're going to stay here. We're going to be the centerpiece guys. We're going to win because we won without Kyrie last year. I'm telling you, it's just a theory. Hey, I'm willing to bet that he told somebody over there he's gone. He told Cleveland he was leaving, right?
But for this to have the impact on the team, it looks like it's had. Like they're on the same page. They're playing the right way, you know, for the first time all year. Like, they've come together on the floor. He would have had to have told the players, right? I mean, if it's had the impact among the players on the floor.
Or someone did. I mean, again, maybe he told someone and they told the player. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just telling you that a team that talks about we're appreciating the group we have tells me that, well, then do you think the group's coming apart?
Okay, we just led the day talking about, just leftover draft thoughts with the Patriots. You're still welcome on that. Chris in Wakefield. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Got a little bit to say. I got two things I want to say. I hope you guys don't cut me off.
You just
got to
be quick. Chris, go.
Yeah. I'm genuinely curious. So, I'm 25, been watching the Patriots, Boston sports my whole life. I listen to you guys every day, and it seems like it's more negativity than positivity. And I just want to know, we 18 out of 20 last playoffs, 20 years, tons of Super Bowls, best ever done, and you guys continue to pick apart Belichick and hate. I honestly want to know, at what point do you back off, you say, Belichick made this move. I cannot pick it apart because – at the end of the year, they win the Super Bowl, and you look like what? You look like you eat your words every time. So I give you guys a lot of credit for keep trying to stir the pot. I know it's your job, but at what point do you say, I can't pick this pot anymore?
Never. Never. At what point? Never. No point. Then you have no show. It's talk radio.
Well, and the other thing is, if the Super Bowl justifies everything, even the things that are wrong, well, then why do we talk about any of it? Let's just wait until the end.
No, there's a show to do. And so what you do on Sports Talk Radio is you look at the moves and say, this one worked and this one didn't. And this worked because of that, and that didn't work because of this. And then you talk about it. That's the whole show. If you stop doing that, you have no show. So at what point will I stop doing that? Never. At that point, I'll go sell insurance or I will retire if I don't have the urge to do that. So, sorry.
I mean, again, if it's all about the Super Bowl, well, then we'll wait until the end of the year. And if they lose, we'll rip the hell out of them for everything they did. So if they don't win the Super Bowl, does that mean we rip everything? Like, I want to know what the parameters are from the caller. Because he's saying that when they win the Super Bowl, everything we said is wrong. So if they lose the Super Bowl, does that mean everything we say is right?
Well, maybe.
I mean, every criticism is then justified if they don't win the Super Bowl?
All I know is we're going to keep doing the show the way we do the show. I mean, I can't help you. Accordion Corey, go ahead, in Rhode Island. What do you got, Corey?
That last caller needs to understand the reason we win so much is because we are so negative and critical. That's like the whole point. He can move to Atlanta. I think he'll enjoy that. So I do love how we, you know, you got the most clutch performance you'll ever see out of a punter in football history. We signed that punter because we got a clutch guy, and then they draft another punter. I have no idea why. But I'm thinking Belichick might have one of his minions listen to the show, because in the first round, they get a wide receiver, which pisses off you, Felger, and me on that case. Then they draft a running back, the wide receiver pissed off Maz. Then the running back pissed off you. Then they draft a quarterback, which kills Murray. It's like they wanted to make sure they got everybody on that. And the quarterback, you said it right on Monday, Felger. The fourth round pick does not help me and Murray with the F the future, and it doesn't help you with the we have to figure out this quarterback situation. So I really hated this whole draft. Especially the running back really killed me. Okay. We are stacked at running back.
Corey, thanks for the call. I don't hate the draft. I'd like them to attack the quarterback thing harder. The running back? I'm not even bitching about the running back because he's 87 overall. That's when you're supposed to draft the running back. You're supposed to draft the running back at 87.
Just didn't feel like a need. They were set at that position, it felt like to me.
Certainly not a need, but, you know, running backs go down like flies. I know that. wait, in one second. So I'm not bitching about the draft. The receiver's fine. That's not my issue. I want them to attack the quarterback thing, which I don't think they've done yet. That's my issue. Remember when I asked before? So we've had the two guys we were, and Hurley, who we know, the guys we were ripping who wrote the Garoppolo story.
Yeah.
And remember I said it was the kid out in at NBC Sports Boston, Darren Hartwell. I said I never met him. I don't know him. He's out there. He's showing himself right now on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. That's Darren. Darren, I've still never seen you. You work in the building? When are you there? Are you there at night ever? I never see the kid. I've never seen him. I've never seen you one day in my life.
I've never seen him in my life ever. I mean, I was in there last night. I didn't see him.
Okay, well, anyway, your story got me to click and respond. So good job, Darren Hartwell, NBC Sports Boston. Now we know what he looks like. And they effed up the Garoppolo thing, kid, by the way. Just FYI, for your own information, they screwed that thing up royally. Here's Murray's update. We come back with a guest on Celtics Bucks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, let's get some help on the Celtics and the Bucks. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Kevin O'Connor writes for The Ringer. Kevin O'Connor was in our orbit for a while. Nice Boston kid, right? Kevin, you're from Boston, right?
Yeah, from Brockton, Massachusetts.
There you go, baby.
How you guys doing today?
Excellent. Thanks for joining us. Do you agree with Paul Pierce that this series is over?
It's definitely not over yet. A lot of time for adjustments on Milwaukee's end.
Okay, so how does Milwaukee do it? How do they overcome what did them in game one?
I think it's two things. On the offensive end of the floor, getting into their sets a lot quicker. One thing they haven't done all season, but teams tend to do more of in the postseason, is also run more pick and roll. They ran the third fewest amount of pick and rolls this season, despite having Giannis Antetokounmpo, who obviously when he's spotting up from three, you can help off him. But if he's your on-ball screener for Eric Bledsoe or another ball handler on the team, he can rumble down the lane and be a handful for the defense. So I think on the offensive end, that's what Milwaukee needs to do. On defense, it'll be interesting to see if they go small more often with Giannis at the five instead of wasting time with Ilyasova and Mirotic.
So I mentioned the pick-and-roll stuff the other day. You know, what can Budenholzer do to get Giannis free a little bit and run that high pick-and-roll, which I'm glad you said that, because just being a casual watcher of the Bucks, it feels like they don't have – the whole league runs that thing except for them. And is it hard to do because Giannis can't shoot?
I don't think it's that. I think it's more about just the philosophy. It's like I wrote last week on The Ringer with Ben Simmons on the Sixers, why doesn't Brett Brown do that more with him? It's partially because he doesn't shoot. But I think it's also just because of the philosophy of the coach. Just not part of their offense. They run an offense, swing the ball back and forth from side to side. And that ball movement has been effective for them. But I think in the postseason, regardless of your style of play, there comes a time where you got to get out of your base offense and run just straight up, pick and roll. And if the defense switches, maybe you have to go into an isolation with Giannis. If they don't, well, then you have a 6'11", 7-foot guy who can jump over anybody, who can pass on the short roll or catch and lob passes. I think for the Bucks, they have to go to that at some point during the series.
So you put this on Budenholzer then, Kevin?
I mean, it's partially on Coach Bud. It's partially that, but he's also the reason why they are where they are with all the adjustments they did make this season that had a positive effect. Now it's just about tweaking those positive changes that were made. He's fully capable of it. It's just going to be interesting to see if they come tonight in game two or if it's going to wait until game three and whether that's too late or not, depending on the result of tonight's game.
Kevin, do you think the Bucks have the talent to beat the Celtics? Who has more talent in the series?
The Boston Celtics are definitely deeper, that's for sure. Milwaukee has the best player, and as we've seen with decades of NBA history, having the best player in a series is sometimes what matters most. The question still for me, though, is the little things with this Milwaukee team to maximize Giannis Antetokounmpo, because there's no way he's going to shoot as poorly as he did around the rim as he did in game one. That was an unusual performance for him.
Are you sure Milwaukee has the best player?
Yeah, I think Giannis is the best player. I voted him as MVP this year. I think he's the best player in the series. Why? Who else would it be?
Oh, but Kyrie Irving.
He's not better than Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's a great player. But Giannis is an all-time potential player. Kyrie's a great player, though, but not better than Giannis.
So, Kevin, look, we're splitting hairs here a little bit, but you just said it yourself right there. He's an all-time great potential player. On the offensive end of the floor, who do you think is better?
Kyrie Irving is a better offensive player, okay. Yes. Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo, versatility on defense. And that's one of the things that's frustrating with the Bucks is they play a style of defense where they drop the pick-and-roll defender, and that's fine to do with Brook Lopez. But with Giannis Antetokounmpo, you have this freakishly long defender who's fast, and he's strong, and he's athletic. He's somebody who I think they should be a little bit more aggressive in their pick-and-roll and all-around defensive coverage, well, with him specifically.
Especially on Horford. The Bucks left, yeah, Horford open. Horford can shoot. If you leave him open, he's going to kill you. And as a Bucks fan, Kevin, it disappoints me that Budenholzer didn't realize that Horford can shoot, especially when he coached him in Atlanta. Like, you've never seen that before. Horford can shoot out there if you don't close on him, and they just let him stand out there. So that was frustrating. It's Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. I believe, Kevin, you were one of among many national guys who wrote stories about the Celtics this year and sort of the dysfunction inside and the unhappiness, mm-hmm, inside the room. So I remember reading that story from you a couple months ago. What do you think's going on now? Do you think they cleared the air? Do you think they've, you know, come to Jesus with their issues or what? What do you think has happened?
I think they definitely had a little bit of a come to Jesus moment. At the time of that story, there's no doubt there's issues with the team, and some of the players have admitted that since then. I think there's no question that the team had problems that they had to work through. At the end of that article, if I remember correctly, I had in there about, well, now comes a time where they have to prove what Kyrie Irving said during the season. Kyrie Irving had mentioned multiple times, all that matters is getting it right after game 70 into the playoffs. And it did seem that towards the end of the season and then against Indiana and now after game one against Milwaukee, that something's right. Watching this team, it seems like guys are fully embracing their roles on the court. They have accepted their roles for the greater good of the team. And I think with this Celtics team, when it comes to assessing them right now and their chances against Milwaukee and moving forward against whoever they might face, it feels like you're watching the team that you expected right out of the gate, that something has clicked with this team that hadn't over the course of the season. Will it fall apart? It's possible it could, but this is the longest sustained run of positive success for the Celtics that they've had all season long.
I mean, that game the other day, Kevin, no doubt was maybe the best game they've played all year on both ends of the floor. Do you think Kyrie's staying or do you think he's going?
I would bet on Kyrie staying.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think all indications the past couple months are that he's absolutely going to consider, you know, a team like New York. I think that'll be in consideration for Kyrie. But I think when it comes down to it, he's going to look at his situation based off what I heard and stay in Boston. And I would also bet on Boston being at the top of the list for Anthony Davis, too. And I think if you're Kyrie Irving, it would take a lot of balls to leave a championship contending team already never mind a team that could also add Anthony Davis, a friend of his in the league, and also a tremendous player as well. I would be surprised if Kyrie left, though he's at least going to consider it and going elsewhere.
Sorry, Kevin, did you feel that way when you wrote that story a couple months ago, and have you been disabused of that notion, or have you felt that way the whole way? Because, again, the tone of your story, and it wasn't you were hardly the only one, but the tone of your story is that this isn't good, this isn't working out, so has something changed in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think since then, nothing's really changed in regards to Kyrie. I would say maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks before that story, when was that, in February, that they were having all these issues, January and February. The couple of weeks before that, it was more like Kyrie's probably going to consider other destinations, and I don't think that's changed. I think he's going to consider the Knicks. I think he's going to consider going to what is home for him. But I think when it comes down to it, I have a hard time foreseeing him leaving the Celtics.
Kevin O'Connor, so you still like the Celtics here in this series, or what?
I picked the Bucks in 7 before the series, but part of me wasn't listening to my gut that this Celtics team was fixed. I would stick with Bucks in 7. I don't want to overreact to game 1, but I think game 2 will be more indicative of what to expect moving forward with any little tweaks Milwaukee makes, but also the potential return for Malcolm Brogdon in game 3 would be pivotal for Milwaukee, considering that would allow them to have more versatility in their ball handlers, more versatility in the lineups that they use. His potential return should not be overlooked. And of course, Smart at some point would be a help for the Celtics too.
Kevin, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. You want Wayne on the Celtics game 2 tonight and the series and Kyrie. Kevin O'Connor thinks he's staying, which is quite a switch from that story. That was not the feeling you got reading his story a couple weeks, months ago. So, I don't know. What does that mean? Did something change? Was he gotten to? What do you think? And Maz had a theory earlier that, Kyrie's comments after the game the other day was an indication that maybe he's told him he's actually leaving, and this is one of the things that's helped them because they've cleared the air. Everyone knows what's going to happen, and so now they can just go play basketball. So you can weigh in on that one as well. Kevin O'Connor still does have the Bucks, though. So your thoughts on all of it. Couple open lines at 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I'm still with Milwaukee. I still feel good about them. But this is gut check time for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
Both of them. Giannis is probably going to be the MVP. He was my vote. And this game yesterday kind of reminded me in a different way, obviously, of game 2 with Kevin Durant and Patrick Beverley. How Beverley did this incredible job guarding him, and it looked like he had really found out an answer to stop Kevin Durant. Now, Kevin Durant answered in a big way. He obviously, since then, he's been off the charts. Let's see if Giannis can do that.
It's Chris Broussard of FS1. I think he's making the same mistake a lot of people are making. Is Giannis Antetokounmpo Kevin Durant?
No.
No, not at all, not even close.
Durant's one of the great shooters in the history of the league who can shoot over anybody.
He's not there yet. Maybe at some point Giannis will become LeBron or Durant. And LeBron still doesn't shoot as well as Durant. But a complete game who can take a game over by himself. I think Kevin O'Connor's making that mistake. I think Chris Broussard's making that mistake. I think everyone's making that mistake and thinking because Giannis is an MVP, he can now just turn it on and take over a game single-handedly like one of these other guys. He can't. If you defend him the right way, he's limited. Which, when Durant's on, you can't defend him. And when LeBron's on, you can't defend him. Even if someone like Harden or Westbrook is on, you can't. You can defend Giannis. if you play him right.
And besides not having an outside shot like a Durant, I'm just not sure if I've ever seen Durant wilt the way that Giannis did in
yes,
a game
you have.
Like that.
So the NBA, you've seen LeBron do it routinely. How many times have you seen LeBron just pull the cord and quit?
Well, yeah.
All the time. I mean, I
but
see
in
that
game
from,
one like that. I mean, he got completely emasculated and just checked out pretty early.
Oh, I've seen it from LeBron a ton. And if I really looked at Durant, I bet I would find it. I know I've seen it from Harden. And I'd sort
oh,
of
yeah, Harden, absolutely.
It's sort of an NBA thing. You know, I used to lose my mind over it, too. In that league, when you're down and you know you can't win, a lot of those guys pull the cord. So I'm not going to hold that against Giannis. If he's doing that 5, 6, 7 years from now, fine. Yes, again, he's 23. And his game isn't there. Durant, Broussard's making this mistake that he can just pull a Durant. He's not there yet.
No, he's not the shooter. Again, to me, this all comes down to the outside shot. And if they're going to give you the outside, you have to be able to make it consistently so they come out and defend you. And the Freak can't do that. So, look, to me, the way Milwaukee's going to have to win this series, other than, first of all, it's going to start on the other end, and they got to get the Celtics to miss so they can get some transition hoops. And then beyond that, he's got to pass the ball to open shooters, and they got to make. To me, the guy I'd give the ball to more often is Middleton. Middleton has freaking torched the Celtics. Torched them. And I'd give him the ball more.
Okay, David, New Hampshire, go on the Celts.
Guys, I think all the green teamers in Massachusetts, I know weed is legal, but they're high. I mean, this is crazy. They think they're just going to, after one victory, they're going to roll through the playoffs. This is just an absolute joke. I think in the NBA, everything's predetermined. It's going to be Golden State against a coin flip, Toronto in Milwaukee. I think the Celtics are going to lose in six.
All right. If it's predetermined, it's Boston. You think the NBA wants a media market 36 in Milwaukee in there?
No way.
Or media market zero in Toronto? They get zero credit for the Toronto media market? Zero? You might as well have a team, you know, out of Timbuktu. So if you're going there, the league wants the Celtics. The league's always wanted the Celtics. Good Lord. Give me a break on that. I don't think it's nuts at all. When you look at the competition, these teams are flawed. The Bucks may have the best player. I'm not even willing to concede that. But if you do say he's the best player, he's still flawed. He's still raw. He's still not there. Toronto still has that feel of the Kyle Lowry, DeRozan loser stench. You watched last night, like that was the old Raptors there.
It was.
And Philly, I'm sorry, has no idea how to play at the end of these ball games. So, I mean, to me, assess the competition. And that's just to get to the finals. I'm not picking you over the Warriors, but I think you're going to get there now. Jimmy in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. I know you were talking about NBA repping earlier. It's pretty cool that Scott Foster is repping the Rockets Warriors game tonight. I'm wondering if you guys can help me. Like, I have some personal issues I'm going through. And Jim Murray, I'm wondering if maybe you're going through the same at all. Last year, I would call up your guy's show. I'm a huge dream teamer. Like, I was all in on the Celtics, so confident. Heading into this year, loved the team, right? But around 20 games or so, I'm like, man, I don't really like Kyrie. He doesn't fit. And by the end of the season, like, I hate Kyrie. And I hate the team now. Like what? Like, I can't root for this team. And I predict, hey, we're gonna struggle with Indiana. Okay, we beat them. I predict we're going to lose to Milwaukee. Milwaukee's going to beat us in 5 games. I watched the game the other day, and I'm like, dude, I'm booking plans to go.
You can't say that word, Jimmy. Stuart, you get that?
I feel where he's at, though, because this is...
Kyrie's impossible to like. I mean, at least from, you know, me. I don't know.
I appreciated the dominance that I saw on Sunday. Did I enjoy it? Not really, if I'm being completely honest. Like, last year was a blast, and my expectations were minimal at best because they didn't have Kyrie. With everything that happened this season... Because I'd still like to think, and I heard Hardy talking about the same thing in the midday show, you'd like to think that the season matters, that seeding matters, because typically it has in the past. Doesn't look like it's going to end up playing out that way, and it's frustrating because I've kind of learned to hate this team this year, and it feels like they're a lock for the finals.
I mean, look, way back when I told you they deserve to lose. They deserve to lose.
The whole room was rooting against them in the first round.
And so, you know, now look, I like the way they played in the last game. So I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that all of a sudden I don't like the way they're playing. I do.
On the floor, they're doing everything right.
Yeah,
they are. But they, you know, he's hard to like.
Just don't listen to Kyrie. I mean, the rest of them are fine. I mean, again, I think Al is exceptional. And I think Al Horford's performance.
So that was enjoyable. Yeah, watching him completely dominate and emasculate Giannis was awesome.
Okay, not just on the floor, but him totally subjugating himself off the floor is rare in that league.
Yeah.
It is rare. It's an ego fest there, man. It's a measuring contest. Especially when you get to those podiums. It's like, oh, it's insufferable. Like all those guys in that moment trying to make it about themselves. And Al just totally subjugates himself to Kyrie when it was and Al.
That was, my fault. No, I was in the wrong place.
Appreciate that.
When it was Al's night.
He's a consummate professional, a humble dude. Like he's likable.
He's the one that's making it possible. If Al Horford was like every other NBA a-hole, yeah, were there no shot? No shot. He couldn't coexist with Kyrie. Chris, you're welcome. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I think people are underestimating Marcus Smart's injury insofar as I think he's a great player. He's got a role in this team. But now what we have is we have Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward getting more minutes. So I want Smart back, but not at the expense of Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. I want less Marcus Morris. I want less Aaron Baines, and I want less Terry Rozier. And those minutes need to go to Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, I don't even want to take time away from Baines and Morris. Rozier, that's it. That's the only one. If Jaylen Brown can play any sort of defense with any consistency, they're a better team with him on the floor than Smart. Because at the other end of the floor, there's no comparison.
Okay, we had follow-up draft thoughts. We have Celtics-Bucks. This hour, we're going to do some Bruins. We have two very, very special guests. One's a little more special than the other, but two special guests in studio. You'll have to stay tuned to hear who they are. No commercials here, just an update from Murray, and then we get to the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.